And welcome to The Writer's Way, a Right Attitude radio show. This program is brought to you by the Office of the Quality Enhancement Plan. The Right Attitude is Savannah State University's campus-wide initiative that enhances student learning by fostering positive attitudes toward writing. I'm your host, Dr. Lisa Yont, and I'm the QEP Director and Associate Professor of Philosophy at SSU. Today our program highlights the Deep Center, which is a dynamic nonprofit organization founded here in Savannah, Georgia. DEEP creates opportunities for young people to tell their stories. They organize free writing workshops in local public schools and community centers. Their Young Authors Project serves over 300 students in 14 middle schools in Chatham County each semester. Their advanced program, Block by Block, serves students 12 to 18 years old and runs year-round. That program's currently housed at the Ralph Mark Gilbert Civil Rights Museum. For today's show, we bring you interviews with the DEEP staff, DEEP writing fellows, and two young writers who currently participate in the Block by Block program. They're also graduates of DEEP's Young Authors Project. Additionally, throughout the show, we will play excerpts from the DEEP Speaks event held on February 23, 2016. To begin, here's an interview I had the pleasure of conducting with the members of the DEEP team. It should be noted that the organization's programs have recently received national recognition for excellence by the National Endowments for the Arts. Also, in November 2015, First Lady Michelle Obama awarded DEEP Center the nation's highest honor for youth arts and humanities programs. Through this interview, you will learn more about what DEEP is, what it sets out to do, and what it means to the local community. Well, I'm Lisa Yont, and I am the current board chair for DEEP Center. Today, we also have with us Dare Dukes, who is the executive director of DEEP, and Megan Ave-Lalamont, who is the director of programs at DEEP, and Keith Miller is in charge of the programs as a manager there at DEEP, and Chad Ferries is a board member on the DEEP board of directors. And I just want to thank you all for being here today to discuss the tremendous work that DEEP's been doing for our community. DEEP was started in 2008 by co-founders Catherine Killingsworth and Hartford Gongaware to address the detrimental effects of poverty on literacy in our city. And just to put that a bit in perspective, let me mention that in Savannah, Georgia, a quarter of public middle school students fail to meet the state's minimum writing proficiency standards. Also, one-third of these students don't graduate from high school on time, or often it's the case not at all. And so it's not real hard to see that if young people aren't given the tools adequately to express themselves clearly, their stories are lost and their potential is underdeveloped. And so, Dare, could you speak a little bit about the core values of the organization that guide DEEP's mission?
Yeah, DEEP meets young people where they are. We try to connect with them in a place where they're able to reaffirm the joy of play with language. We set aside grammar and talk about spelling in the beginning and just try to meet them at their joy. We also have a youth-centered approach, so that means in very practical terms we tell them that their stories are enough and encourage them to use their stories as their primary text. We allow them to write in any genre they want to. We don't censor any of their content. All we ask is that they, as artists and as storytellers, that they know why they're making the choices that they're telling, that they're making. We also train our, we have an original curricula for both of our programs. We train our educators to be in the space, many of whom are volunteers. We train them to be in the space with the young people as writers themselves and as co-learners, so they're there to kind of learn together with the young people. That's all part of our youth-centered approach. And then we also know that, so one of the things is, when we talk about literacy, we're not just talking about a person's ability to read a road sign or a menu. We're talking about knowing what your story is, being able to tell it, and being able to tell it well. When young people do that, we know from experience that they can see how their stories can make changes in their world. And we have a lot of examples of young people like that, who've gone through that, who've had that experience.
Oh, that's great. And I know often the question about the organization's name comes up. Would you just for a quick clarification, say what DEEP refers to?
Really?
It's not an acronym.
Okay.
our name is Deep Center, and deep just means going deep. Going deep with your writing and with your understanding.
So depth is one of those core values.
Yes.
Along with authenticity and
yes.
perseverance. Mm-hmm. And another one of the core values is community.
Mm-hmm.
Could you say just a little bit about how diverse communities come together through deep?
Yeah, so deep is kind of a nexus for, it's a place where a lot of different communities in Savannah that don't often mix come together. In our workshops, we'll have creative writers who are in Savannah as artists and creative writers. They have their own kind of unique community that we help foster, which is always important when you're a creative artist, because being a creative artist is very hard. And in Savannah, there aren't very many places to connect your work to your community. It's hard to get work as a creative artist in Savannah. So I think the people who work with Deep feel a strong sense of connection to their other fellow writers, and then they as a group get to go into the public school system, which a lot of people don't get to go into, and work with young people who have very few opportunities for this kind of work. So that's right there is two communities coming together that don't often mix in Savannah. And then Deep Speaks, which is our end of semester reading and book launch, which happens for our Young Author Project in a downtown theater in Savannah. About 550 people come together from all over the county and hear the stories of young people from all over the county. So that means you have kids on the south side who literally have never been downtown before. It's not uncommon. Mixing with kids downtown who haven't been to the south side. And you have family members, teachers, and invested community members. And then you have young people telling their stories and telling perspectives that it's very rare in Savannah or in many places to hear young people talking, giving their firsthand experience about stories that are important to them.
Yeah. Now, Keith, you are a native of Savannah.
Yes.
And having come up through the public school system, I was wondering if you could share what it would have meant for you to have a program like Deep when you were younger.
Yeah, I mean, I think it's really funny because I've spent most of my career outside of Savannah, in New York City, helping change, like that kind of stuff. And so it's been nice to kind of come to a program that is like in my old, quote unquote, stumping yard. When I think back to kind of like middle school, it was not actually a very fun time for me. It's a confusing time for so many of our students. At that point in time, I was struggling with a lot of environmental issues where school just wasn't the most relevant thing. And in school, we weren't getting the message that like you can take those very things that are affecting you in your environment and talk about them. It was, okay, I know you may be going through this outside, but you need to do this math problem, you need to do this, and you need to do it the way we want you to do it. So during my sixth and seventh grade years, I just wasn't tuned into school at all. I wasn't a very good student. Didn't want to go to school at all either. And then I was very fortunate to kind of run across teachers and fellow students who were finding a way to kind of create their own stories. And it took me, I was a bit of a late bloomer to kind of get access to that. But one of the things that I really love the most about Deep is that just the ability of seeing people who are writing, telling their own stories and letting you know that your story is important. Like what you're living is not one, you're not living it by yourself. And that even if you feel like you're living it by yourself, that's all the more reason to write about it so that more people who are experiencing it can kind of get a sense of hope. So I did not identify as a writer until like high school, where we were forced to write a poetry notebook. And I was like, okay, I can put a few words together and they sound pretty cool. But one thing I like about also when we're in the schools is that we're not just saying, oh, you should write, you should be a writer. We're actually empowering students to say, okay, whatever story you feel is important, we want you to write about it. If it is about what happened to you this morning before school and why you're in a bad mood, write about it. If it's about how you felt when a teacher said this and this happened, okay, write about it. If it's about you just watched Twilight or you're like really into vampires and that kind of stuff, write about it, but push yourself to go deeper. And so you're able to kind of see, even from the middle school perspective, you're seeing your fellow peers write these powerful stories, and then you're doing it together. in a space where the school says, you know what, we think writing is important. That's why we brought these people in here. And then you're looking at the writing fellows. They're not your run-of-the-mill, like, every average person, although every person probably has a powerful story, too, but they're not your teachers. They are people who are coming in, and they're creative writers in their own right. So when they're saying, like, hey, here's a little bit about this particular story, we're reviewing text with them, which is kind of like the academic component, but at the same time, we're not approaching it from the same way. This person is an author, so they may bring in their own work for the students to read, and then those students are able to say, wait, I just read this piece about like this. I didn't know that people wrote about this kind of stuff. And they're like, oh, yes, we do. Now let's talk about it. So the students are able to, for the first time, I think, in some students' lives, be able to see that when we're talking about school, school is one thing, but also writing is that thorough line that connects everything. So you have people writing about the very same things you're going through. And it's an empowering moment because then you can be like, wow, so my story really does matter. And even if you're looking around and you don't see your story being told, it's even more of a powerful thing to say. So our writing fellows are writers, so they're coming to the classroom saying, hey, we don't have all the answers. All we know is that we want to work with you on writing. We have a few skills to teach you. And then a lot of that mentoring happens in the margins, as we like to say. So students are writing in their notebooks every session, and then they're able to talk back and forth with that writing fellow saying, hey, like, I really want to do this. And then the writing fellow is able to say, oh, this happened to me too. So that type of mentoring happens where, whether you have gone through the exact same thing as your student or not, you're able to kind of connect with them on a human level. And it's not just academics, it's empowering students to really tell that story. So if I had gone through that in middle school, one, I probably would have identified as a writer. And I think a lot of the things that felt isolating and lonely and just really unfortunate during that time period, I would have been able to realize that, okay, well, all these things I'm going through, that's all the more reason to talk about them. And I wouldn't have kept it all caged in, and I would have felt like there was no one else going through the same things that I was. And so we see on a daily basis with our writing fellows and with our students that they're telling these stories, and they're not just telling them, they're being encouraged to be fearless about it. We tell them, go there. Like, even if you don't know how mom's gonna respond, you may not know how your aunt's gonna respond, you know, we'll cross the bridge when we get there. And so these students write these stories, and they stand up in front of their peers and they tell them. And then their peers get teary-eyed, and then next minute you know, there's like, wow, that happened to me too. And this all happens in the classroom. Mm-hmm. And then they get the stage where they're able to actually tell this in front of hundreds and hundreds of people, and the community stands behind them to do that. So I think we believe at the end of the day that it starts like in the classroom, we're able to do these cool things, but the impact that the students are able to get in telling their stories, it continues on after the session's over too.
Right, and we hear like from kids all the time, like our current Deep Laureate, Jade, said that she always identified as a writer, but she had no place in her life to write those kind of stories, so she would write them alone in her room. And, you know, just last 2 weeks ago, she was reading this very intimate story about, she has a really intense personal story, and she read this to a room full of 550 people, and it was extremely powerful. And so she took this private, almost secretive story that she didn't know where it fit into the world, and it became this powerful point of pride for her, mm-hmm. where she was, as Megan was talking about, our kids learn how to kind of be the authors of their own narratives, and that's what happened to Jade. Mm-hmm.
And not only do they tackle subject matter that is close and often private and personal that requires them to be fearless, but deep helps them do that in a compelling way with skill. So we layer in this mentoring, like Keith was talking about in the margins, while at the same time you're saying that happened to me too, you're also saying, wow, this metaphor was so powerful. Exactly. And here's why this struck me, and we could push this even further, mm-hmm. you know, if we incorporate XYZ. So, you know, the stories are great in their own right, and then to add in a layer of mastery of creative writing skills just takes it really to the next level.
And Chad, as a board member that's been a part of the organization since early on, I wonder if you might be able to speak a little bit about the transformations you've seen from the beginning to where we are now.
Yeah, I mean, it's so fantastic to think that, you know, Catherine and Hartford, that you mentioned earlier, the two founders, you know, approached me, and we sat on my front porch like 7 years ago, and they brought this idea to me. They needed some people to help, right? We needed some people to teach what they wanted to do. And they knew I was at Savannah State. And they knew that I was teaching creative writing. And they knew I had access to a bunch of potential students who were already interested in creative writing and had some skills and could facilitate those skills to someone else. And we had no money. You know, I said, well, you know, I just got an email for this collaborative grant with Armstrong University for $2,500. You know, maybe we could put something together and we could use that to purchase some of the textbooks and provide some gas money to these students so they can get to where they needed to go, right? And now you just heard what's happened, right? So you this is where we've gone in, what, 6 years? 7 years? I haven't done the math.
Eight years.
So I mean,
but
it's
from
really
from your front porch to the White House, right?
That's right.
Right.
Yeah, that's right. Wow. The porch to the White House. Yeah. I mean, absolutely. You know, that's it. And so those are the types of things I like to support. So that's why I had become involved. And with these, you know, what you all have spoke to is how it's sort of working. You know, this idea of transformation. And doing that through not simply writing, but really it's about communicating this sort of personal narrative and understanding the concept of story. And I hear it all the time when we go to Deep Speaks. I mean, it's so moving, you know, and it's so fantastic to see that. And it's so great because the students have no idea, like, I mean, it feels special to them, but as an adult and even as a writer, like, boy, I could win the Pulitzer Prize, and I will never get the attention that they get on that stage and all of those people that come to the Deep Speaks readings, you know. It's fantastic, yeah.
Well, that just really speaks to this idea that's so dear to our organization, which is stories are these cultural assets, right? That's so important to our identity, to our possibility, to who we can be as individuals and as a community. And so I'm just so proud to be a part of this organization. I really want to thank each one of you personally for all of your hard work and your dedication and your passion to our Deep Kids. And I'd also just like to publicly thank everybody that's been a part, past and present, our writing fellows, our educational fellows, our Deep Kids, their parents, our board members, of course, our funders. We couldn't be anywhere without that kind of monetary support and all the volunteer support as well. And it's just really so fantastic to be part of this group where together we can create a place where our young people thrive as students, as community members, as artists, and we can help to make our community one that hears and values and responds to their voices. So thank you so much for your time today.
Thank you.
Thanks.
Now that we've heard more about Deep, we're going to play some performances from three young authors who read at Deep Speaks. Deep Speaks is a community reading that coincides with the release of Deep's anthologies. These anthologies showcase the writing of all the students who complete the Young Authors Project workshop series and make them into published authors. Stay tuned throughout the duration of the show, as we will share a number of other performances from the event, including a reading from the Fall 2015 Deep Kid Laureate. But first, here's a piece entitled Canela by Naomi, which is followed by Burma, written by Yon, and then a story by Jordan called Home is Where the Peach Pits Are.
Hi, I'm Naomi, and today I'm going to read my poem titled Canela. It translates to cinnamon, and I hope you enjoy. The smell of cinnamon, el olor a canela, smell that has followed me my whole life. Will you be in my last breath? If so, make sure I drown in the memories you bring. Remind me of my grandmother, sweating in the kitchen over the pot filled with my favorite dessert. Arroz con leche. Please remind me of all the Dominican desserts that have a hint of you. Arepa, habichuela con dulce, dulce de naranja, majarete. Definitely remind me of my family and the island in the Caribbean, República Dominicana. The sun and palm trees, the traffic of the island, our time spent together, singing and dancing and eating, sharing the smell of cinnamon, compartiendo el olor a canela.
Hi, my name is Yon, and I'm from Oakwood Thorpe Charter School, and I'm in eighth grade. Burma. Where I'm from, the burning sun beats down on your face as you play with friends. A place where football is soccer, and soccer is unknown. Where the wonderful smells of fried dishes come from every corner. The smell of moringa and curry. For me, it's usually a place where all my flesh and blood can just walk over to my house in the colorful skirts with different voices, high, low, quiet, and loud. Everyone sounded unique as they were singing in their native tongue, where potholes can be found about every 5 inches in the ragged concrete. Where I'm from, we aren't all camera ready. We make the best of things with each other, where stereotypes come from and not all true. We were gentle, not barbaric. Friendly, not always defensive. Where I'm from, the common question was, have you eaten yet? And where I'm from, if the answer is no, an invitation comes along.
Hello. My name is Jordan Miner. I go to Southwest. I am in sixth grade, and my poem is called Home is Where the Peach Pits Are.
So short.
I walked back to the hotel. It was a cold autumn night. My pocket's empty. Spent most of my money on the slots. Visited by neon lights, never angels' wings. I opened the heavy iron doors, greeted by the desk clerk. Her sarcastic, hey hun. I roll my eyes, you can smell a rose perfume, trying to hide a smoking problem. I walk up the stairs to room 55 and see it. A vase of nuts, leaves, and peach pits on the nightstand. I mutter to myself, just like mom made. A tear creeps to my eye and I push it back. I grab a Bible to look for the verse my mom told me. I don't find it. She said she would never leave. I walk to my window, open it, and smoke. Tomorrow will be a new day.
Listening to The Writer's Way, and you just heard performances by three young writers who read their work as a part of Deep Speaks, a biannual cultural event that features Deep Kid authors. Up next, we will broadcast an interview with SSU student Shaniqua Brown, faculty members Dr. Camila Martin and Dr. Dustin Michael, and staff member Nikki Retch. They've all volunteered as writing fellows with Deep Center. In that role, they give Savannah's young people the skill, bravery, and passion to write and share their stories. In this interview, conducted by Deep Center's Director of Programs, Megan Ave-Lalimont, you'll hear why these folks joined the organization and how they feel they've been able to make an impact on these young writers' lives.
My name is Megan Ave-Lalimont, and I'm the Director of Programs for Deep Center. Say your name, what you do at Santa State, when you were with Deep, and if you remember the schools you were at, like, I'd love to hear those too. I know most of you, but sorry.
I'm Nikki Retch. I'm the Outreach Services Librarian here at Savannah State, and I was a Deep Fellow for 2 semesters, I think in 13-14, I wouldn't swear to that, and I was at Hess and Myers.
Great, thank you.
My name is Shaniqua Brown, and I'm an English major here at Savannah State. I was a Deep Fellow for last semester, actually, which was fall 2015. And I recently won the Writing Fellow Award for Teaching and Mentoring Excellence.
Woohoo!
I'm Dustin Michael. I'm an assistant professor here at English at Savannah State University. I was a Deep faculty fellow, I guess is the term.
Through Savannah State, right?
Right, it was, yeah. Through the QEP and then through Savannah State. That was in 2012 and 2013, and I was at Coastal and East Broad.
Cool.
I'm Camila Martin. I'm also an assistant professor here in the English department at Savannah State University. I was a writing fellow in fall of 2014, and I was at Duren Middle School.
Mm-hmm. Excellent. Wonderful. Thank you all for being here. Some of you from the very near future, and some of you blast from the past. It's so good to see your faces. So let's let's just make this a conversation, but a conversation only works if we all talk. So, well, hopefully these will be interesting and easy questions to answer. So, first of all, why did you join DEEP? What appeals to you? And if you want to go round robin, we can. That makes it easier. Or if you want to just do pop-up. So why DEEP?
The mission spoke to me. It came across from Lisa, of course, asking for volunteers because she's so involved. And I hadn't heard of it because I wasn't from Georgia. Mm-hmm. I just recently moved to Georgia, so I went to their website, and the mission really spoke to me.
What part of it?
The community part, the truthfulness, where it talked about honesty, pulling out the honest stories from these kids, really spoke to me.
Cool. Yeah, that's what we're all about.
With me, I was actually looking for just community service or volunteer work to put on my resume. So this was something that just was like, oh, I'm going to gain experience with kids and writing, since I'm going to be a future teacher. But then I met Megan, and then I learned more about what DEEP was about, and I just felt like, man, I wish this was something I had back in South Carolina growing up. Mm-hmm. Just somebody who saw my writing and was like, oh, you're good, let's try to work with you and let's publish. So I thought this was something that, great to do.
Cool.
I got involved. I was new to the area as well, and it was before I had a full-time job, so I was an adjunct here and in a place in South Carolina. And one of the guys over there I taught with, named Zach, he's like, oh, you know, I kind of walked by your room. I saw you doing a lot of, like, interesting things. And do you have a creative writing degree? I'm like, yeah, yeah, one of those. He's like, oh, okay, well, you should, I do this thing DEEP, you know, you should maybe check it out. And he just kind of, like, laid.
Hours?
Yeah, it was. So he kind of laid the bait for me. And then I was like, oh, I'll check that out. He's like, oh, yeah, it's really fun. You do it, make a big difference. And it turned out he was true. And he was right on all those things.
Great. Oh, so for me, it was mostly Lisa, you know, recruiting. She sent me a link to the website and said, oh, check out this video and see if you might be interested. And immediately I was captured by just the young people and their stories and remembering so much of my own experience as a middle schooler growing up and having all of these ideas and experiences in my head. And, you know, I wrote in my journal. I didn't really publish, but you know, the thought of helping someone to move from those very private thoughts to actually crafting them into something readable and publishable really appealed to me. So I really felt like I could relate to the students, and so that's what really pulled me in.
Yeah, so I hear a lot, I mean, almost everybody found a sense of community in DEEP, maybe.
Yes.
Absolutely. And I think that's something that we strive to create for our kids, too. Like you were saying, Camila, you know, some of these kids most of them identify as writers already, mm-hmm. but mm-hmm. like you were saying, Shaniqua, like, nobody's asked them to do anything with it, or sometimes they don't have space to do it in their everyday lives. Mm-hmm. And the goal of DEEP is to create that space where they can be really truthful and honest, where they can make these really great connections. Mm-hmm. So let's like zoom in on workshops. Does anybody remember a favorite activity that worked really well with your kids in a writing workshop? I mean, in DEEP, we work with them for 11 weeks. 1 week at a time, or 1 day a week. And does anybody have anything that like really jumps out, like, oh, they really loved doing this? And if this is like reaching too far back, we can skip this question too.
I have one.
Okay, yeah, you're our most recent.
I don't remember when we first started, when we first joined, I had the example of having them, you know, the kids sit at desk. Having them either stand up or push away from their desk, depending on what kind of desk they were at. I had all my students look at their shoes. It's crazy how it unfolded into something else. I was trying to do, like, I guess we was working on descriptions or something. I wanted everybody to describe their shoes. But using, like, colors, but they just went far out. So they looked at their shoes, and I made them tell me about their shoes and each other's shoes. And it's crazy because when they describe not only their shoes and each other's shoes, they didn't say, oh, his shoes are red or his shoes are purple. They went, well, he looks like he doesn't care about his shoes. well, he looks like he don't have the money to buy these types of shoes. Mm. Or she looks like she likes boy shoes and not girl shoes. It was like personality traits. Uh-huh. They examined each other's personality or each other's home life. Like, they went real personal with just some description of some shoes. Like, it went far deeper than just the material, you know, or just these, yeah, just this material descriptions. It just went so deep, and it's crazy because it tapped into something in each of the writers. Mm-hmm. Like, after that, we started with our prompt, and you could just see how it was almost like they were judging each other, but it pulled something out of each other. And when they wrote about it, it was like powerful, you know, that they felt like, oh wow, this person who's across from me, who described my shoes, they saw me. Mm-hmm. Like, they saw the real me. They saw what I had going on just for my shoes. Like, that was just an amazing thing.
And I was there that day, and I remember too that you and your partner also participated in that and said, like, describe our shoes. Mm-hmm. So you got on the level with the kids in that, like, we're all in the room as writers, and like, we're here too. So, like, we're taking this risk with you. And I think that's part of what set the tone for your workshop to be so incredibly effective for your kids. All right, well, as we wrap up, I think this will be a good way to stop. From each of you, what is one little nugget that you hope your deep authors carry with them from your time together? I know, deep thoughts.
Maybe their writing is supposed to be fun. Like, yeah. You know, there's so much of the time we kind of get in classes and we have to write things, and it's not, you know, it's like, oh, this is such a drag. I have to write about this thing I didn't read or I don't care about. And then it becomes this sort of mindless task that you just have to slog through. But that's not what it's really supposed to be. I don't know. Like, I was thinking about that when we were talking. We were, about how, you know, you have to... You were saying that it's important to remember you should make time for writing, but I was thinking about, like, it's supposed to be fun. Like, we got into this because it was fun.
Yeah.
And, you know, much of it now is like, okay, I got to write to keep my job, or I got to write because, you know, people expect me to, or I got to do da 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 da. But, like, it's really, like, at the base of it, it's an enjoyable activity. Yeah. And I hope they remember that when they go through.
Really good. It's like, okay, what else?
I'll say continue to be fearless. Always, because when you grow up, sometimes you get selfish. Sometimes you become a selfish writer, where it's all about me, 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 me. And what I have going on. I guess you get too into yourself. And then and then you get older, and like everyone says, like, life happens, and then now it's about everybody else and what everybody else has going on, that you forget about yourself. Like, it's important to create a balance, and a part of that, having that balance, is to be fearless. No matter what situation you go into, just keep an open mind and write about any and everything, and don't be afraid to write about it.
Good. Yeah, really good.
I think one of the things that I really like that we introduced the students to is the haiku. And none of them had heard of it, and they were like, man, I don't know if I can do this. But at the end of that day, we had some really awesome haikus. And so I guess I would love for them to remember to challenge themselves and to not limit themselves to the type of writing that they do. You can be a poet, you can write prose, we even did a play. We had them write a snippet from or create a scene out of a play, dialogue. So I just hope that they really explore all the different range of writing styles that are out there and available to them.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, me too. Okay, then we're out of time. So thank you guys so much for being
thank
here.
You. Yeah. Thank you, Maggie.
Thank you.
All right. And continuing our focus on the Deep Center, now we'll play more performances from the young writers who shared their works at Deep Speaks. First is the poem Dusk's Paint, written by Destiny and read by writing fellow Laura Swangen, to be followed by a piece by Sophia called For the Love of Pickles.
My name is Laura Swangen, and I am reading on behalf of Destiny Dorch, who is a seventh grader at Godley Station. She came down with bronchitis and couldn't be here tonight, but her writing is way too good not to share with you guys. So I will be reading her piece, Dusk's Pain. He was dying again, once again drifting into an oblivious sleep, though not an eternal one. His blazing locks touched the edge of the earth, and every gasping breath kept the sky awake just a little bit longer. He slowly suffocated as he dropped to his knees, his face, usually a rosy pink glow, tinted to a dark, foreboding plum. He wanted to scream from the pain to express the feeling of slowly being crushed into the sky's weight. He watched in anguish as the world turned from cordial tangerine and exquisite fuchsia to vindictive mauve and atrocious Prussian blue. With desolate eyes, he watched as the dark mistress caught her grasp on the world, dooming him to wither and extinguish in her palm. A cry left his lips, a final lament begging for mercy and compassion as the world exploded in ardent yellow and beauteous vermilion. He collapsed, quivering and shaking, with fiery tears running down his honey-glow cheeks. He was going to die in angst. Then, peeking out over the horizon, he saw her, the woman he loved, glowing faintly, purely, with a light that no one could match. He basked in her soft touch and watched as her dark ebony locks descended over her starlit silver shoulders before tumbling down endlessly. Their eyes met, his a cordial sky and hers a mystic midnight. And slowly but surely, their children filled the sky, children of the soft glow of their mother and the fiery passion of their father. He watched in wonder as his children danced and swayed in the night expanse, with their mother, his lover, in the middle of it all. He suddenly realized, with a beautiful dawning realization, that he was dying so they could live, suffocating so that they could breathe, crushed under tremendous weight so that they could run free. In a single moment of blissful happiness, he died. The sun died, but the moon and the stars had no reason to cry. Soon they would die for him, day after day, night after night, dying for each other in an endless process of self-sacrifice, in an endless process of love, life, and death.
Hello, my name is Sophia, and I go to Godley Station School, and the name of my piece is For the Love of Pickles. I grab this object to save myself from hunger. It's as bumpy as a zit-filled face, yet smooth and sleek as a bottle of soda. The sweet taste that hits my taste buds, like I am flying, but then it suddenly turns sour. That tuberous object is no other than the pickle. The refrigerator is the best place to find the best pickle. I feel as excited as a fat person about to eat some candy. As I carefully open the fridge, hoping to find a fat, juicy pickle, but when I look, the pickle jar is empty, like Walmart on Black Friday with nothing on its shelves. My eyes open wide, like an angry chihuahua, like the world is ending, like I'm having a heart attack. Well, I am finding out something unexpected. I close the refrigerator door and madly run upstairs to the closet and lock myself up. I wrap my arms around my legs and rock back and forth, hoping it's just a dream. My tongue feels like a schoolboy rejected by his crush. The pickle thief will feel my revenge, I think, a maniacal smile on my face.
Welcome back and thanks for tuning in. This is The Writer's Way, and today we've been talking about the wonderful work that the Deep Center has been doing in Savannah to support middle and high school students in learning to tell their original stories with courage. This next part of our show features conversations with two of these young writers, Antoine and Justin, both interviewed by Deep Center's executive director, Dare Dukes.
So, how did you get involved with Deep?
Well, a teacher recommended it. We had several teachers talk about, you know, if you wanted to join. Just let them know and they will, you know, review your grades and whatnot and recommend you if they felt that you were a proper fit into the Deep program.
Where do you go to school?
Savannah Early College.
Where is that?
It's on Pennsylvania Avenue.
Okay. Is that part of a different school? Is that part of?
Well, it's not. It's not supposed to be. It's not supposed to be part of Savannah High.
Okay.
But it is a part of the building.
Right. Okay. And you take classes at Savannah State, right?
Yes.
As part of that program, right?
Yes.
Yeah. So what have you been writing in Deep's block by block program?
Basically, I've been kind of writing like emotional writing. Like, while whenever they gave me like a topic or something, I would always try to take it to a deeper form for me. Like, instead of like just writing, if they say, "Wrote write about a sandwich," I'll write about what a sandwich means to me and the sandwich of life or something like that.
Right.
Just something provocative to, like, you know, ensure that my writing is always different from everyone else's.
So, how do you do that? How do you write provocative writing?
I mean, you just kind of have to take it in, understand yourself and understand who you are as a writer. And once you kind of develop that type of understanding, then you're able to, you know, write about anything.
So how do you figure out who you are as a writer?
I mean, it takes a lot of writing, a lot of writing, a lot of meditating and thinking about how you think. So, you know, a lot of metacognition and whatnot. But, I mean,